Like you said, my name is Chris Musser. I'm typically playing in Hillsville with Out of the Box Worship Center, but like you were saying, things kind of got shuffled around this morning. But it's going to be kind of like an acoustic sort of stripped down set this morning, but it says to make a joyful noise unto the Lord, so don't need to have all the fancy sounds and lights and stuff like that, but I'm going to do my best to make sure that you guys have an enjoyable worship experience. If you guys will go ahead and just stand up on your feet, and if you guys will just go ahead and look around to the people around you, maybe you know them, maybe you don't, maybe give them a high five or a hug or a handshake or a fist bump or whatever it is that you need to do just to let them know that you're happy to see them and just welcome to church. Who breaks the power?
Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Whose love is mighty and so much stronger? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder? Who leaves us breathless? In awe and wonder, the King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. Sing for all that you've done for me.
Amen. Sing, who brings?
Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King of glory. Who rules the nations with truth and justice, shines like the sun in all of its brilliance, the King of glory, the King above all kings. Yeah, this is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you for me.
Sing worthy this morning.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquers the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy. Oh, this is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You've done for me.
give him some praise this morning. Y'all sound so good.
You guys can go ahead and have a seat real quick. Again, happy Father's Day for anybody that slipped in after we started. We do have a special Father's Day table over in the cafe, and we've also got a special gift for you before you leave. We've got a devotional book that we want to share with you guys this morning. We have had an awesome week. We had a team of 15 people from Cornerstone go to Nicaragua. We got back late last night, and so we had just an incredible week of ministry, able to get a tremendous amount of ministry work done. We worked at the training center farm, helping get things organized, cleaned up, went out into a number of villages all week, providing medical care, going and playing with the kids, sharing the gospel. Saw at least 20 people saved. I'm not sure how many. We saw just a number of people saved all week long as we shared the gospel. Just an incredible, incredible week. So it got just a little hot while we were there in Nicaragua. We got to experience our first earthquake. We were woke up one night by an earthquake. So just a great trip, but appreciate you guys praying for us while we were gone. If you're joining us this morning, and if you're visiting this morning, we would really appreciate it if you take a card out from the seat in front of you and fill that out and just let us know a little bit more about you. And then after the service, you can bring that by the resource table, and we've got a CD for you that we'd love to share with you just as our gift to you. And also, when you came in, you got an announcement sheet. And let me just go over this real quick. There's a few things on here and a few things that are not. This morning's also a special day because we're doing a baby dedication. And we're going to do that after the worship time, before the message. So if you've got a child that's going to be participating in that, we'll be doing that here in just a few minutes. No youth today, because not only did we get back from Nicaragua late last night, we're leaving after the first service to take a group of teenagers to the beach for a week of discipleship camp. So we've got a busy week this week. We've also got a free community meal coming up. And if you want to, it's on the last Wednesday night of every month. So this month is tacos and nachos. If you got any questions about that, you can see Nicole back here. She can fill you in on all the details. And next week, we've got a Discover class, a Discover lunch, and a membership class. And Discover lunch is just if you want to ask questions, learn more about Cornerstone, it's your opportunity to just come and get to know us. The membership class is for those of you who are wanting to take the next step and be part of our family here at Cornerstone, where we share a little bit more about our vision, our beliefs, our history, our structure, all answer all the questions you have. And we've already got a number of people signed up for that. For the membership class. So it would be a great time to jump in and be part of that next Sunday. If you want to come to that, we do ask that you pre-register over at the resource table just to let us know so we can have enough food for lunch for that. We've got a summer ladies book study coming up here. We've got a kids pool day coming up. So all sorts of stuff on here. As always, you can go to our website to find out information about our services and our events and our activities. We've got our Cornerstone app that you can download and do the same thing, keep up to date on what's going on here at Cornerstone. So just lots of ways to stay connected, and we encourage you to do that. With all that said, I think that's all the announcements I have this morning. Before we continue on in our service, would you just join me in a time of prayer this morning? Would you bow your heads? Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much for the incredible ministry that has been done this past week by our mission team, the ministry and the discipleship that's going to happen this week for our teenagers. We pray for them, Lord, and just knowing that they're in a world full of temptation, that they need our encouragement, they need our prayer, and they need our teaching and our mentoring. And so, Lord, we pray for this week, what you're going to do in and through their lives. Lord, we also pray for the service this morning, just knowing that as we gather here and lift up the name of Jesus, and that as we learn more about you, that, Lord, you just use this time each and every week to just build us up, to encourage us, to prepare us for the week that is ahead. And we're so thankful for that. Lord, open our hearts this morning, speak into our lives, change us and challenge us and transform us to be more like Jesus. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
If you stand with us for worship again.
Oh, I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. Oh, and I've seen many searching for answers far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers. Only you provide, because you know just what we need before we say a word. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. To
you're perfect.
You are perfect in all of your ways. Oh, you're perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. To us. Oh, it's love so undeniable. I can hardly speak. Peace so unexplainable. I can hardly think as you call me. Deeper still as you call me. Deeper still as you call me. Deeper still into love. Love, as you call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still into love, love. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. Sing, you're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
Amen. Give him some praise this morning. Y'all sound wonderful. So it is Father's Day, and hopefully all of you guys have someone that you can spend the day with, but the fact of the matter is we always have the perfect example of who a good, good father is, and it is the Lord Almighty. He will always be with us. He will never be against us. Nothing will ever be able to stand in his way. And this next song that we're going to play for you guys this morning is just something talking about that no matter whatever comes our way, we will always have strength in the Lord Almighty. He is going to always be with us. Nothing will ever be against us. He will never, ever let us down. He is such a good and perfect and loving and caring Father in every sense of the word. So as we sing this next song, just prepare your hearts for worship this morning, for the message that will be coming your way. And just know that there is a loving and caring and perfect Father in heaven that loves and adores you.
You're never gonna let me down. Because you are good, good. Oh, you are good, good. Oh, singing out this morning. You are good, good. Oh, you are good, good. Oh,
give the Lord some praise this morning. That sounds so wonderful. All right, and you guys can go ahead and have a seat.
Thank you. How is everybody this morning?
Good.
Happy Father's Day to you. One of the things that I did in preparing for this lesson is I sent out a question to several people in an email, and I asked them to share with me something that their father had taught them or shared with them that turned out to be very important in their life, you know, and just kind of make it brief, and I got a lot of good answers. I'm going to share some of those with you. My father instilled in me a good work ethic. He worked extremely hard to support his family. Work hard and do the job right. I like this one. Learn everything and anything you can, even if it's a new cuss word. So, you may want to edit that a little bit. Good manners. Yes, sir. No, sir. Be polite. Open doors for people. Things like that. Work hard. Look for a good job. My father taught me a love of learning, to learn whatever I can. Here's a good one. A soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Measure twice and cut once. They've found that this applies to their life in several situations. My father and I was working one time. We were doing something, and I made a measurement. And I told him it was 20 and 21 and a half. He cuts it, brings it over to me. It's 20 and one half. It's 1 inch short. I said, Dad, you've cut that short. It's 1 inch off. I give it to him. He goes around the corner. I hear the saw. He comes back. It's now 2 inches short. He went and cut another inch off. So, here's a good one, faith in God, honesty, and selflessness. He not only taught it to me, he has shown it to me every day in his actions. He was always practiced what he preached. I enjoyed that one. My father taught me dedication and loyalty. He shared his time with me. He answered a very important question to me on the first girl that I ever dated, and I asked him, how do you know if you found the right one? And his answer was simple. You quit looking. I thought that was a good one. Another one talking about marriage. Seems like some of these had a lot of marriage things going on. You'll get out of it whatever you put into it. And he also was able to apply this in other areas of life as well. Well, you know, that's the kind of answers that I was looking for, and I was going to do this sermon in a direction about how to honor fathers and how fathers have honored and things of this sort. But I got some other responses as well that I wasn't really expecting. I did not have a father, just a guy who lived at our house and yelled at us a lot. And I'd say if you wanted to see the upside, I learned how not to be a father. One response was simply that, how not to be a father. Another one says, I didn't know my father. I met the guy that my mother said was my father, and he didn't want anything to do with me. Well, those responses kind of made me go in a whole different direction because I had planned everything and kind of had an outline going in one direction. And it looks like that we need a little bit of direction at being a good father. What does it mean to be a good father? Or what does it mean to be a father? And I'll share with you when my son was born. He came 6 weeks early. He was going to be premature. Well, that brings a lot of worry and a lot of stress and everything. And on premature like that, Galax wanted us to go to Winston. So we go to Winston. We have the drive down there. And I've always been the type of person to always want to try to be strong. You know, don't don't let anybody know that you're being worried and everything. So I tried to do this, and we go down there, and there's a long labor process. And, you know, when they were in a – and, ladies, I'm sorry, I probably don't use the right terms here. We was in a holding room. What do you call that? And, you know, the contraction started getting closer and closer and everything. So this, okay, it's time to go to the delivery room. So the nurses said we're going to take her down to the delivery room. And we go out in the hallway, and in the hallway is where he was born. As we were traveling down through there, and I'm walking in front, and I go, what's that? Oh, that's the crown. And we're in the hallway in the nurse's station, so you know. And when my son Scott came out, he's this little blue thing. I thought I'd had a Smurf at first because when and because being premature and, you know, there's some oxygen levels. And like I said, I really, it was a long time ago and it was kind of blurry all at that time and everything. So once we got, so the nurses said, you know, even though your son's here, we'll show you the birthing room now. So we go on down and she gets to go through the process and everything. And they just kind of took him and took him down to the preemie ward, which he was 4 pounds, 8 ounces when he was born. And to show you, or to give you an example how small that is, he had grew a little bit before we brought him home, and I have a picture of him laying in my softball glove. He would fit in my softball glove. And so he was quite small, and after my wife, we found, you know, she's okay, and I go to the preemie ward, and he's in this little aquarium thing, and they got little stuff hooked up to him, and I told you I wasn't going to be very technical. And so I had been up for about a day and a half without sleep, and I go over to a motel there in Winston across from Forsyth, and I go in and I check in and I sit down on the bed, and then all of a sudden it hit me. I was a father. Now, I can't explain this, but I just sat and cried for an hour. I was a father. I was responsible for this little blue thing. And, you know, it's kind of like it all rushed in at once. This is mine for life. How he grows up, what he learns, what he does, what I do or don't do, or do well or don't do well, was all right there in front of me. So it was an eye-opening experience. So, you know, you're kind of sitting and thinking, well, what do you do? How do you be a good father? Well, the Bible has an answer for everything. And I found a verse that if you read it, you don't think it's a Father's Day verse. But I want us to read it together. It's 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 7 through 12. Okay. As apostles of Christ, we certainly had a right to make some demands of you, but instead we were like children among you, or we were like a mother feeding and caring for her children. We loved you so much that we shared with you not only God's good news, but our lives also. Don't you remember, dear brothers and sisters, how hard we worked among you? Night and day, we told to every living so that you would not be burdened, and as we preach devout and honest, faultless toward all of you believers. And you will know that we treated each of you as a father treats his own children. We pleaded with you, encouraged you, and urged you to live your lives in a way that God would consider worthy, for he called you to share in his kingdom and glory. Well, that doesn't really say a whole lot about being a father, unless you start breaking it down. That's what we're going to do. Let's look at the first teaching point this morning. And if you're following along, you have to be able to express genuine love. The first trait of a father would be the ability to express genuine love. Notice what Paul says in verse 8. We loved you so much. In the Greek language that Paul wrote, these words expressed an intensity of love that gives over and over again. Paul is saying it's hard to even find words to express how much, but we really do love you. And I think it's an important character for traits for fathers, because expressing love doesn't come naturally for men. Now, it does come for women. And the Bible tells us, tells men to love our wives. And they're telling us that because that's hard for us. And it's also telling women most of the time to respect their husbands, because loving comes naturally for women more so than men. And sometimes respecting the man is the hard part. So most of us men have to learn how to love. And that's true in a parent-child relationship also. How do we love? I'll give you an example. A few years ago, there's a cartoon strip called For Better or Worse. And this father walks into the room, and his teenage daughter is sitting on the couch watching television, eating popcorn. And he's thinking, you know, I remember when she was so little, I would just hold her in my arms, and I would love her and just tell her I love her. So he goes over, and he sits down beside of her and thought he would be there. So he said, you know, and a little thought bubble pops up, and he says, I wonder what she would do if I held her and told her I love her now. Well, he kind of waited out and everything, a teenage daughter, you know, he didn't want to get pushed away or something of that sort, so he elected not to do that. Now, in the next frame, the daughter has a little thought bubble, pops up and says, wonder why Dad never holds me and tells me he loves me anymore. You see, sometimes it's difficult for fathers to know how to express love to their children. I mean, we live in a culture today, and there's incest and perversion and all this other stuff and everything. And there's, and you know, and I'm a stepfather to two girls, and you don't know where you should be. How loving should you be? How are they going to interpret it? I mean, it's difficult. So you have to have honest conversations with your children to know them. Our best example of fatherhood, of course, is the Father in heaven. And the best story to tell about this is the prodigal son. And I think we all know that, where the son thought he knew more, and he asked his father for his portion of his inheritance, and he took it off, and, you know, he wasted it in wine, women, and rock and roll and stuff like that. And then whenever he run out of all of his money, all of his friends had left him that he thought was friends, and he was actually going out into farms and eating the slop like the pigs. And he thought, I will go back to my father, because my father has always made me to be welcome. And he planned on what he's going to say. And here in Luke chapter 15, 18 through 20, he said this: I will go to him and say, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and I have sinned against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. So I'm certain he probably practiced that, and he just went through his mind, and he was just going to see his father, and he's going to fall down on his knees, and he's going to beg his forgiveness, and that's probably what he had planned. But we all know the story. The father seen him coming from a distance, and he ran to him, and he threw his arms around him, and he kissed him, and they had a great celebration. You know, he never even got a chance to get it out. And see, this young man knew that even though he had sinned against his father, sinned against heaven, that he'd be welcome at home. And that's the sign of love. I once read a book. Years ago, I worked for Pioneer Eclipse, and it was bought out by the Japanese, a Amano Corporation. And I got a book, and it was actually written in 1973, and it was called A Life of Jesus, and it was written by Tsukasa Endo. Now, that's a Japanese name. And this gentleman was a Christian Japanese man. And he was converted when he was a young person in his preteens. And as he grew up, he realized he was wanting to try to minister to other Japanese, and there's a problem with that because Christianity, we constantly talk about the love of the Father, the love of the Father in heaven, and he is our Father. Now, see, in the Japanese culture, the Father is the head of the house. He's the rule maker. He's the master of that domain. He's also the disciplinary. His role is not to be loved. His role is not to love his family or children. He is the master. And that's the way they did that. It's difficult for the Japanese culture to embrace Christianity whenever you've got to submit to a father. And their perception of how a father is was quite different. All right, their second point this morning is good fathers have to have a transparent life. And this particular section is verses 2 through 8. We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you were so dear to us. Now notice the connection between gospel and lives. See, it's one thing to share the gospel with them, but they lived among them and wanted to model a Christian life for them. Paul and the disciples had lived with Christ, and Christ modeled for them how to live, and their commission was to go out and live among the people and model for them how to live. So, that's what Paul's saying that they should do, and that's what fathers should do too. If you're a Christian father, your kids should know it by the way you live. For example, being a Christian will affect the decisions you make every day, how you handle things in business, how you talk about people at work. The values in your home will be different from those in what they are found in a non-Christian home. A non-Christian home values things like pleasure and power, prestige and possessions. But in a Christian home, we learn things that we can't see, things we can't buy, things we can't hold on to that are really more precious. We have a completely different set of values. How about finances? How you budget your money? Wouldn't that be affected by how the gospel has changed your life, what you spend your money? Wouldn't that make you a different person? What about humor, joy, and laughter? All the things that we find that's influenced by the gospel. See, God wants us to have fun. He wants us to be joyful. And he wants us to follow and model our lives after Christ. The third point, an unselfish diligence. Now, here's a third trait, an unselfish diligence. Paul says, you remember, brothers, our toil and hardships. We work day and night in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preach the gospel to you. Now, I think it's parents' responsibility to check, to teach a good work ethic to their children. Because in most cases, that's the only place they're going to learn it. They'll either learn it or not learn it. So if a father's not working hard, or if he doesn't have a job, the children are affected by that. Now, it's not really, if the mother's working hard and doing everything like that, they're going to be influenced a little bit, but they still look to the father. So I think it's important to have a good work ethic. And we can teach this in two ways, for example. We can do that and let our children see and do that, and we can also let them do that. Teach the children that they have to work also. Not everything comes like this. Here, young. What do you need? How much? Oh, just take the plastic, you know. You're not really giving your children a whole lot if you do that. If every time they ask for money, or they ask for something, or the newest iPad, or the newest computer, or anything, the newest game, or whatever, and you just give it to them, that's not showing them love. That's like putting a bigger pacifier in the mouth. When they're little and they cry, you stick a pacifier in the mouth, and sometimes they'll be quiet for a while. As they grow up and they get older, they start crying or wanting this and that and the other, and you give them an iPad or something like that. That's just a bigger pacifier. Sometimes that's in their mouth where you'd like to put it too, but I'll give you an example here. This little boy was wanting to draw a horse, and he wasn't very artistic, but his father was. Well, the little boy tried to draw a horse, and, you know, you've seen children's drawing. Sometimes they say, oh, that's beautiful. What is that, you know? Well, this little boy was wanting to draw a horse, and his father was very artistic. So he tried to give him a little verbal, you know, here, you need to do this. And no, you got to do this. Now come down. Shorter. Longer there, but short, you know. He was trying, and it just really got the boy upset. So the father just took the pencil and paper away, and he sketched out a beautiful horse. And he gave it to the little boy. He said, there you go. There's your horse. He goes, but I wanted to draw my horse. We can't do everything also. We have to let them do things and either succeed or not succeed. See, a lesson can be learned when you're successful, and a lesson can be learned when you're not successful. We're not always winners in life. That's why they have the first place prize. You can't have everybody with first place. So they have to learn the limitation. By the way, Galen's doing a good job catching my coughs this morning. My allergies kind of kicking in on me. So, you know, the next thing we want to look at is genuine spirituality. Paul said, you are witnesses, and so is of God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we are among you who believed. Now, let's review what Paul said to them. Back in verse 9, he said, first of all, we preach the gospel of God to you. And now he adds, you are witnesses, and so is God, of how we lived among you. We lived holy, righteous, and blameless lives. Our behavior was influenced by what we believe about Jesus. Jesus modeled how they should live, and they are trying to model for the people how to live. And that's the way it's our responsibility as fathers to model how our children and how our families should live. God has commissioned dads to be spiritual leaders. And you're the spiritual leader of your home, whether you realize it or not. You will either lead your family closer to God or farther away. It's as simple as that. You know, you've got to be a spiritual leader. It's a 7-day-a-week job. It's not Sundays only. Whenever your children see you carrying your Bible to church on Sunday that's the only time they see it in your hands, they know that. If they see you praying in church on Sunday and they don't see any prayers the rest of the week, they note that as well. If they hear you to say you're a Christian and you give someone at work a hard time or you talk about somebody, they hear that. To be a good spiritual leader in your family, it's a 7-day-a-week job. Because if you don't and you slip up, they're going to catch you. It's absolutely essential that we be genuine and that our children see that we not only worship here on Sunday mornings, but at home, and to read the Word of God here and to read it at home. That we not only pray here, but they see us pray at home, and they see that we are genuine in our faith. Now, our fifth point this morning is a positive influence. Finally, there is a trait of positive influence, and Paul writes, for you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, urging you to live lives worthy of God who calls you to his kingdom of glory. That's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 12. And that is what a father does. He encourages, comforts, and urges his children to live lives worthy of God. And it's all positive. But you know, not every dad is a positive dad. I have a young couple that are friends of ours, and they have a little three-year-old son. And he calls me Pop Pop Rocket. He doesn't have any grandparents, and Pop Pop Rocket is what he calls me because his dad calls me. Rocket Arm is a name given to me when I played softball and play an outfield and could throw it in. And so it just kind of got shortened to Rocket, and he calls me Rocket. So the little boy called me Pop Pop Rocket. Well, they were over at the house on Thursday afternoon. They were getting ready to go camping this weekend. And the dad dips. So we're there in the driveway, and I'm helping him get some stuff and changing the oil in his vehicle and things of this sort. And he goes over to the grass, and he spits. And he says, "Watch this." And here this little boy goes. You know. So we're standing there talking, and he walks to the other side. And the dad goes over, and he spits. And before he can get back, he goes, "This little boy." It's cute as it can be. Whatever he does, this little boy follows everything he does. Well, that's good. That's kind of precious. But Mom went to pick him up at daycare the other day. And she goes in, and she says, "Honey, go get your shoes, and we'll leave then." And I can see him doing this. And he looks around. He goes, "Where the H-E-L is my shoes?" Well, Mom froze. All the leaders froze. There's a couple teenage girls help out. They were giggling. Mom said, "I'll address that on the way home." Well, I asked him what happened. He said, "I got it when she got home." Dad got attacked because he knew what happened. So, fathers are influential over their children. Whether you like to be or not, it's going to happen. So you got to be on your toes. Ben's smiling awful big over there for some reason, too. Yeah. Now, there's a book called The Total Man, and Dan Benson had wrote that. And a little bit of interesting information here. He said, for every positive word that a dad says to his children, he's going to say 10 negative words to his child. It's like, "Don't. You can't. Stop that. No." Sounds familiar? Does it ring through your house often? If you've got children in your home, I want you to think about that. How many positive words a day? How many negative words do you share with them? It's an environment that comes together like that. Well, you know, we've taken a piece of scripture this morning, and we've kind of put it into a context. It's not here's what to do as a father, but it's showing us what we as Christian fathers, should portray. If we use these to be a good Christian, we're going to be a good father. And, you know, the mothers have had a lot of fun this morning. Some guys have been elbowed. But, I mean, it can be learned from all of us of how we need to model our lives and how our children will model after us. So the most important thing that I want you to take from this morning, you're not going to get it right every time. Amen. You're going to make mistakes. You'll probably have some regrets. So remember, and always remember this, ask God for guidance for being a father, for being a husband, for being a son, for being a Christian. Every day. Because every morning is a new challenge. Every time that sun comes up, we as fathers, we as parents, we as Christians have a new challenge in front of us. And there's only one way we can be successful and that we can get through it, is to ask God for his guidance. Ask God for his strength. Ask God that he can lift us up and help us to do this. Praise team comes back up. I want to share with you what we'll do with our response service if you're visiting with us today. There's several ways you can respond. You can stay at your seats, and you can sing, and you can worship, or you can pray whatever you feel like your heart's drawn to do. If you have something that's kind of touching your heart and giving you a little bit of a tingle, or you can come up here to the cross, and you can write something down, or you can drop it in the box. Give those thoughts, those concerns, those worries to God. If you're here and you want to take communion and you want to have Christ-like in your body, you can come up and take communion. You can do it alone or you can do it with your family. If you want to just come up here and gather and pray, you can pray at the cross. You can pray up here at the front. We will invite you to do that. The next thing is, if you have something that you would like to share with myself or Mike or one of the elders, or some of us will be back in the back, but I want you to feel free to come back. I'll tell you what, guys. Personal experience, sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. There's challenges in our life. There's directions that come at us that you don't expect. You know, for many of you, and most of you know that I went through a divorce. That was never on my plan. That was never on my agenda when I was a teenager. There went a time I didn't get to see my son for weeks upon time. That was never on my plans. And there's only one way I got through it, is asking God to help me, to give me some strength. Some of you may have gone through that. I hope nobody has to. Reality is that it does. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you that we can gather together, that we can read your word, we can find strength in it, and that we can apply it to our lives. I just pray that you would be with each one of us. Give each one of us fathers and their mothers, that we can be the person you'd have us to be, to bring up our children in a godly home, and that we put Christ in the middle of everything we do. Go with us here forward. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Holy name, sing like never before.
goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find.
Sing, bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I'll worship Your holy
song to send you guys out, just a kind of a little bit of an upbeat one. Houston Fest wasn't that long ago. I know there's plenty of people in here that kind of like a little bit of a bluegrass, kind of get your feet stomping, your hands clapping through here. So we'll play a little fun one as you guys make your way out. Hope you guys have a wonderful rest of your Father's Day. Thank you all for coming out this morning. I hope you guys have been blessed by the message and by the music this morning. And it was so wonderful to see all of you. Just be safe no matter where it is that you're going after you leave church today. Hopefully it's filled with all sorts of blessings. But we're going to play one more song as we finish up this service. So if you guys want to clap along, sing along with this one, by all means, go for it. It's nice to have an audience that participates with this one. But this one's called Build Your Kingdom Here.
Come set your rule and reign in our hearts again. Increase in us, we pray. Unveil why we're made. come set our hearts ablaze with hope like wildfire in our very souls. Holy Spirit, come invade us now. We are your church. We need your power in us. We seek your kingdom first. We hunger and we thirst. Refuse to waste our lives for your our joy and prize. To see the captives' hearts release, the hurt, the sick, the poor at peace. We lay down our lives for heaven's call. We your church, we pray, revive this earth. Hey! Build your kingdom here, let the darkness fear. Show your mighty hand, heal our streets and lands. Set your church on fire, when this nation back, change the atmosphere, build your kingdom here, we pray. Unleash your kingdom's power, reaching the near and far. No force of hell can stop your beauty changing hearts. You made us for much more than this. Awake the kingdom seed in us. Fill us with the strength and love of Christ. We are your church. We are the hope. Your kingdom here, let the darkness fear. Show your mighty hand, heal our streets and land. Set your church on fire, win this nation back. Change the atmosphere, build your kingdom here. The darkness fear. Show your mighty hand. Heal our streets and land. Set your church on fire. Win this nation back. Change the atmosphere. Build your kingdom here. We pray.
Y'all have an awesome week. Thank y'all for coming out this morning. Happy Father's Day.